Hello, this is Tom Kagi with Unconventional Wisdom. A couple of decades ago, I shared our parenting experience in the Asian American Parenting Guide section of Goldsea.com. I used the pen name William Kim to protect our kids from any teasing they might face in case any of their schoolmates read the article. At the time the piece was written, our kids were still in their early teens, but they were already showing such sterling qualities that we already felt sure we had knocked it out of the park. It was a bit of a relief because our parenting strategy had gone against conventional wisdom in almost every respect. In the fullness of time, we now have confirmation that our strategy produced healthy, well-adjusted, successful, and generally happy adults who are leading enviable lives. Here's part one of the Goldsea piece entitled A Different Parenting Strategy. Have fun! That's always been our stern, uncompromising injunction to our kids as we drop them off at school. Never study hard or listen to your teacher. Always have fun. When report card time comes around, we accept the consequences. Straight A's with maybe an occasional B+. Drugs, alcohol, and tobacco? I told him about my own youthful experiences with all three and admitted that I didn't find marijuana to be addictive, as is falsely advertised in all those public service ads. Our kids just shake their heads in dismay, wondering how their father could have been so stupid as to smoke, drink, and get high. We keep lots of soda pop, sweets, and desserts all over the house. Our kids rarely touch the stuff. About the only people who eat them are their friends, whose parents enforce strict regulations on their eating habits. When we go out to eat, our kids order unsweetened tea and refuse dessert. When they were in grade school, we didn't hesitate to take them to R-rated movies, even the sexiest ones, if we thought that they were worthwhile on some level. We have a mind-boggling selection of satellite programming beamed into our home without restrictive controls. The consequences? Our teens have no interest in the kinds of garbage that seem to draw so many kids like moths to a flame. In quiet moments, they're more likely to be reading well-written novels, painting, or practicing their musical instruments than watching TV, with absolutely no directives from us. Our kids are beautiful, fit, well-adjusted, and admired by their peers, but sacrificing any part of their individuality to fit in with, quote, popular kids is beneath their self-image. They're more focused on their own personal goals and interests. We've never told them when they should start dating or whom they should date. Yet our oldest turns down dates with popular boys in favor of waiting until what she feels is a more appropriate age. My wife and I speak English to each other, and we live 90 minutes from the nearest Koreatown, Chinatown, or Japantown. Yet our kids are utterly comfortable with their identities in a way few in our generation could dream of being at their age. They don't hesitate to eat Asian foods, even smelly ones, in front of their white friends who come over. For school potlucks, our kids ask their mother to bring Korean dishes. On their own initiatives, they devote 2 years of Saturday mornings to Korean school. Our oldest would rather take her sixth trip to Korea or her third trip to Japan than take a trip to places like France, Italy, or Britain. Build strength, not anxiety. Am I bragging? You betcha. Why? You might wonder. From what I've said, you might have concluded that we're feckless parents somehow blessed by dumb luck with great kids. If you believe that, you're probably subjecting your kids to flawed notions of, quote, tough love and covering them with emotional calluses, damaging their capacity to live honest, joyful lives. What's more, you're probably hurting their chances of developing a healthy self-image as proud Asian Americans. We aren't saints by any means. We've had our share of blow-ups when reason went out the window. But we've never badgered, harangued, browbeat, threatened, or punished our kids. We firmly believe that, like good writing, good parenting depends less on the spoken than on the felt. Parents who always make a show of huffing and puffing on their kids' behalf, and we see far too many of them, especially among Asian American families, are like bad writers, focused more on making themselves look like good parents than in doing what's truly best for their kids. In the process, they turn joyful, talented human beings into joyless bundles of anxieties and compulsions, destroying their capacity even to contemplate meaningful lives, much less lead them. Simple, but not easy. Before we start sharing the finer points of our strategy for raising great Asian Americans, be forewarned that it isn't some easy magic formula. In fact, it demands far greater devotion and sacrifice during the first 10 years of your kids' lives than conventional methods of, quote, good parenting. But the ample rewards come during the second 10 years as you appreciate all the ways in which your kids are great human beings, strong, healthy, honest, and effective, not pale imitations whose psyches are a patchwork quilt of anxieties, insecurities, and pretensions. That's the end of part one. For the other four parts, you can go to goldsea.com and look up the article. And perhaps if I have time, I will post a few more parts here.